Butts, how you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing good. I printed out a picture of your cake, and I put icing on it, and I ate it.
There you go, buddy. There you go. Are you a baker at all, Craig?
Oh yeah, I'm not so much of a baker. I cook though. I cook.
Okay.
My big thing is I can make a really, really good carrot cake, and I can make a really good chocolate mousse. Baking really isn't. But the other parts of cooking, I do it all. I love cooking.
Okay, love it. Yeah. See, I'm definitely more of a baker than I am a cooker. I have a few go-to things to cook, but baking, man, from lemon pies, cheesecake, cookies, cakes, I love doing it. It's awesome. A little chiffon cake every now and then. Woo! It's fantastic.
I'm going to have to get one of those from you one day.
Buddy, next thing, you know what? When hockey comes back, Craig, and you come to, I will bring a cake as a celebration for all of us at the press box when hockey returns.
You're there. I'm with you.
Yeah, I think there'll be lots of parties when it comes back.
We won't be sharing a fork or a spoon.
Touche. Some of the players, you know, they've been doing interviews, one player per team collectively as a group with different media people and such. And you know, Connor McDavid came out today and said he doesn't think if they come back to go right into playoffs. Others says they can. Where do you think, as a management type, what do you think would be? What do you think the GMs are thinking about this?
Hey, I'm right with Connor McDavid. I'm with him 100%. Listen, they've been off. Like, you know, would you start the regular season without allowing them to train and to get into some games? That's the whole idea of the exhibition season. It's to get the feel again and to understand, like, you can be in great physical shape, Jason, you know this, and you can, you know, your strength can be good, but getting out on the ice and being aware and, you know, where you might be vulnerable, you need to get those parts of your, what I call your honing devices, in check. And so there's no way as a manager that I would ever be in favor of starting the playoffs. Now, if they start with this ridiculous idea that they're going to let 28 teams into the playoffs, well, if I was one of those managers, I'd say, I better just take that and get in there because I have no other chance to get in otherwise. But if you're trying to protect your players, no way. No way.
You know, a few games, like I've seen a unique one I saw was that there'd be 24 teams qualify for the playoffs. The top eight, kind of the top two in each division would be out. And the other ones would be in like a round. And then whoever wins that, you'd be down to 16. And those eight teams themselves would have a best of three for home ice within their division. Do you think teams would be okay? Like, it's cause you know, but then there's still no play-in games, I guess, so that doesn't really solve that. But would that intrigue you at all, Craig, that the top teams would have, let's say they play, I don't know, you know, some, like, to try to get to two or three regular season games, but then I'm assuming you got to limit travel, so it would be like, okay, Edmonton and Calgary, you're going to play two games against each other. Vancouver, pick the closest team in the West, and that's who they're going to play. Like, what's the best option here if they can even get back to playing?
Well, you know, and that's the key word, if they can get back to playing. It seems to me that the demarcation line is 74 games, if you want to have, everything equal. And, you know, like, Edmonton and Calgary are playing each other in the first round. You want them to have a two-game warm-up? I don't want any part of that. So, that being said, there's not going to be any perfect plan. So, what you're trying to do is, number one, what's going to be best for your players, because you don't want to put your players at any enhanced risk. Because keep in mind, you know, whatever you do, whenever this could start, you know, you don't want to start jeopardizing, you know, 6 month injuries down the road either. And so that becomes a big factor. So then you try to understand, okay, listen, I get it. If you want 24 teams in the playoffs, what you're trying to do as both player and man and ownership is you're trying to maximize your revenues, because once you cancel games, once you cancel a season, those revenues are gone forever. They're gone. So what you're trying to do, if you can keep 80% of them, if you can keep 50% of them, 50, that number is better than zero. So, but I think that, you know, one of the things that Gary Bettman said was, you know, the integrity of the playoffs and the Stanley Cup. Well, I think that you also have to make sure that you don't put your players at any unnecessary risk. So I think you have to have the teams play some games And I think that it solves two issues. Number one, everybody plays a set amount of games. Everybody's at the same amount of games when you determine the final standings. And it gives those players an opportunity to get ready for the playoffs.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. Craig, with the reduction in, you know, the CHL has canceled their season for sure. They're not coming back. NCAA, same thing. And I know you talked about, yeah, it'll definitely have impacts to the draft. Is there any way to have a draft before the playoffs? Like, it's virtually impossible, right? Like, the draft will not happen until the season is officially canceled or they play playoffs, correct?
Correct. And the only thing you could do is get agreement and say, listen, we'd like to have the draft, right? And, you know, before the playoffs, if there was an agreement on it, and you say, okay, non-playoff teams, they're all in the lottery, number one. And then you just, everybody, the President's Trophy team picks 31st. You know, there'd have to be agreement on that amongst the owners. And, you know, that's how you would do it. So, you know, because, again, we start to think about moving into next year. These players aren't players that are going to play for you this year, right? I mean, yep. You could do it. You could do it during an interval. Like, let's say that there's a time frame where you say there's going to be this many, 2 days or 3 days between a series or whatnot. Or maybe at the point of time when you could even maybe do it at the Western Conference point of time, when you know that the four teams left playing are there, and you just tell them, hey, the team with the most points is picking 31. It doesn't matter if you win. So you can put all those teams at 28, 29, 30, and 31. So I think you could do it. And, you know, as we've talked about this, Jason, I think one of the big things is being open to ideas. And, you know, if you take an idea and then you build on it, you take another idea and you build on it and you take the best of ideas, I think you can get to a point where everybody can be satisfied that whatever solution you come up with is a good one.
Craig, what can you tell us about young Bedard, who was granted exceptional status, the first player ever in the Western Hockey League?
Yeah, well, you know what's interesting, Jason? I want to tell you is that Hockey Canada does a terrific job with their process. It has to be thorough. It's not just about on ice. Everybody can go and watch the young man and see how he plays and look at his points. But understanding, you know, the maturity level of him, moving away from home, how he's going to handle things without his family and support group around him, those are all things that Hockey Canada does a tremendous job with. And, you know, if you go back and look at their record, there's only been 7 players granted exceptional status. With the exception of Sean Day, they've been spot on in every player they've granted exceptional status to. And when you also look at a lot of players that weren't granted exceptional status, I would say that they were exactly right on that too. Now, I haven't seen Connor play. I've seen scouting video on him. I've seen game video on him that was handed off to me by some people in the Western Hockey League. So it was good for me to get some, you know, visual on him. But everybody's told me the same thing about him. Very smart, very creative. He knows where danger lurks. And that's a big thing. You know, you're going to be 15 years old playing against kids 4 and 5 years older. You've never done that before in your life. So you have to be very aware of what you can handle and what you can handle. Very good hockey sense, creative, makes plays, shifty, more quick and darting and shifty rather than flat out fast, but a player that has all the on-ice maturity, and people feel that he has all the off-ice maturity to come into a program and be part of a building block. And keep in mind that, you know, you look at what Shane Wright did last year, you look at what Connor McDavid did in his first year, there's going to be some growing pains for any player. But I think that overall feeling is if anybody can handle it, Connor Bedard can.
I look at it and I'm like, does the risk, is there that much benefit for him to play at 15 rather than wait till 16, right? Like, that to me is what I would break it down to. And I just if he's this good, one extra year of playing at the academy level or, you know, midget triple A, you know, academy level, I don't know if it stunts his growth that much. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't. Like, we've seen guys when you get to the best league in the world, Craig, and you know what? They're there. They can't get any higher. and you know, they still, you know, they're fine. Like, it doesn't, it doesn't hurt you to be at a level where you dominate, right? And so I'm just, I'm always hesitant. I'll be honest, I'm very hesitant about doing this. You know, there's lots more travel in the Western League than there is in the Ontario League. So, yep. You know, I hope it works out for the young man. I just think it's a, you know, it's a big thing. And then what are you hearing anything on that, you know, he won't go, because I think Regina's got the number one pick now, that, you know, he wouldn't report there for
instance. Regina, Prince George won the lottery, but they could only move up two spots. So they had no chance to get to the first overall pick, right? So, you know, my understanding is that the player, if Regina drafts him, he's going there. And so everything that I discussed previously was just about the player and the process. Philosophically, Jason, I am 100% with you. I have seen a lot of players go too soon. I've never seen a player stay too long. And in my view, I think that exactly what you said, staying back a year, staying in your peer group, you know, being closer to home with just a little bit more maturity, doesn't mean he's not mature. Doesn't mean that he couldn't do it. But I, philosophically, I am absolutely with you. Let me say this to you. If you don't think this is going to become a bigger problem down the road too, because if the NHL-CHL agreement allows for some form of 19-year-old players in the CHL that are drafted by NHL teams to be able to go and play in the American Hockey League, well, where do you think the trickle-down effect, or what do you think the trickle-down effect is going to be? It's going to be moving more players up, right? And so now we're just going to push players up and up and up beyond their capabilities. That's not a very good development model in my view. And while I look at the record of Hockey Canada, and it's excellent, so I don't have any issue with how they've gone about the process, but philosophically, I'm with you.
Yeah, it's I hope that never happens. I hope it never happens to the NHL. The last thing they need is rushing more. I see enough 20-year-olds flame out in the American League at 20 and never regain it. Now we're going to put 19-year-olds there? Like, give me a break. Like, it makes the, hey, to me, I'm sorry.
I'm going to bring this up. Okay, so I watched Tyson Jost play since he was 14 years old. Know the family, Laura, single mother, single parent household, right? Tyson was a heck of a player. A heck of a player all the way up. I mean, him and Fabro were the 7th and 8th picks, and they said, no, we're not going to junior our first year at 16. We want to go. We want to continue to play. We don't want to just be 4th-line players or bottom pair defensemen. So they went to Penticton, and then they decided they were going to stay at Penticton. Jost was a first-round pick. Fabro was a first-round pick, right? Then they both go to school, right? Tyson goes to the University of North Dakota, and he had a really, really good year, right? And you go back and look at what he did in his freshman year. But he decides to leave after a year. Now he's part of trade rumors. You know, he hasn't been able to develop to the point that maybe people thought. And he had played with Brock Besser. He had played with Brock Besser, who stayed back a year as a sophomore. And look at what Brock Besser has been able to do in the National Hockey League. So I look at somebody like Tyson, and maybe he's starting to catch up. But it's hard to catch up in the best league on the planet. And so it's the same thing I see. I see Alex Turcotte leave Wisconsin, 9 goals. You haven't even come close to dominating. And you think you're ready for pro hockey? Sorry, I'm not buying.
Yeah. Craig, 100% with you. And I'm not sure what you and your lovely wife are doing, but if you're looking for a romantic night, you can join us. It's Notting Hill, Strutty's favorite. It's our 1260 movie watch on Netflix tonight, 8 o'clock Mountain Standard Time.
You guys are beauties. You know that?
Because we don't have any hockey to watch together, so collectively we watch movies and talk about it. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I mean, you're going to be the new Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe probably more to those two guys than Muppets. That might be a better
explanation. Oh, yeah. The two guys that are up in the balcony. Oh, yeah. They were great, weren't they?
They were awesome. Craig, great stuff, man. Have yourself an awesome weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, you have a great weekend, too. Thanks, Jason.